An Unholy Deal by Sperrywink. Read by Kaylin Wrights as a gift for the Dramione Archives, my Voice Team 2024 Purple Puffapod teammate. Draco expected the subsequent Witch Weekly gossip article about Granger, Weasley, and him. He wasn't expecting the Howlers, although he should have. So, all in all, the only thing that surprised him in the next week was getting an owl from Hermione at the end of it. It asked him to talk in private, and from his perspective, it read like Hermione really did want to talk, and it wasn't a euphemism for more sex. More so the pity. Curious, as always, he responded that she could flew over any time on Saturday, and that he would be home alone all day, working. Luckily, she flewed over around 11, because he was getting nothing done with all the ideas racing through his mind of what she wanted to talk about, each more fanciful than the next. She only stumbled slightly upon landing in the room, and flicked her wand to clean off her robes after scanning the room. Her hands flitted nervously once she was done, and her gaze skittered off Draco the one time it landed on him. Still burning with curiosity, but wanting to put her at ease for some reason, Draco said,
"You have good timing. I have tea brewing. Have a seat at the table while I get it."
He went into the kitchen, giving Hermione time to gather her composure, and put together a tea tray with some small sandwiches and the tea. Taking it back to the main room where Hermione was sitting at the table, biting her lip, looking distant, Draco's curiosity was at its peak. They doctored their tea in silence, but once that was done, Hermione squared her shoulders and finally looked at Draco with determination. It was a more familiar look than all her flittering, and Draco was more reassured than he should have been. When had a self-confident Hermione Granger come to help define his world? She said,
"I have a proposition for you."
His eyebrows raised, and he let his gaze snap down to her lips. He knew his smile was becoming lascivious, but he didn't bother trying to hide it. She snorted.
"Why do all men's thoughts immediately go to sex?"
"Because we're thinking about it all the time. Because we're thinking about it all the time, particularly around beautiful women."
Even before he finished talking, her mouth was opening with what he assumed was a sharp retort, and he was looking forward to it, and a battle of wits, when her mouth snapped shut instead. With a heartbreakingly vulnerable look on her face, she instead asked,
"You think I'm beautiful?"
He blinked in surprise, wondering how she could not know that. Then, remembering the bushy hair and buck teeth she had started Hogwarts with, he simply tucked a strand of hair behind her ear and replied,
"Of course. Trust me, you're stunning."
It was Hermione's turn to look surprised, but then a light blush covered the upper part of her cheeks, and she ducked her head with a small, secretive smile. Before Draco could do more than catalogue her reaction, and wonder in the back of his mind when he had become so attuned to Hermione's every movement, remembering even doing it at Hogwarts, she straightened back up. She said,
"Well, this proposition doesn't have anything to do with sex."
She grimaced and waggled her head.
"Well, it doesn't have to have anything to do with sex, rather."
Still feeling playful, Draco said,
"I vote for the sexy version."
"You don't even know what I'm proposing."
"Trust me, I'll definitely be more interested in that one."
He winked. Hermione rolled her eyes and muttered something under her breath. He assumed it was something derogatory about him, and he grinned. A smile was tugging at her lips, and he knew she was no longer nervous, which made him smile wider. He was finding he liked Hermione's company, and wasn't that a revelation? Before he could get caught up in thinking, Hermione said,
"I'm proposing a fake relationship. We pretend to be dating for a couple of months, until the challenge to my Magical Creatures Equality Act is thrown out by the Wizengamot."
"I definitely prefer the sexier version, then."
Anything involving the Wizengamot sounded like a dead bore. Hermione lightly hit his arm, and he laughed. Knowing he was going to do it regardless, just to spend more time with Hermione, and already seeing the advantageous angles of a public relationship with her, he was a bit scared at how quickly his mind latched on to the idea. To hide this from her, Draco decided to negotiate into getting as much out of Hermione as he could. Again, he didn't analyze his feelings. All right, tell me what's in it for me, besides sex, and why you want it.
She arched an eyebrow at him. First of all, I haven't offered sex yet.
I think the key word there is yet.
Pursing her lips, she nodded her head as if conceding a point, and Draco laughed delightedly. This was turning into a far more startling discussion than what he had been imagining before she arrived. He had been joking about the sex, but it seemed like she wasn't averse to revisiting his bedroom, which was stellar, since he was definitely interested in that too. Toying with her teacup, she pursed her lips tighter, as if thinking harder. It was far more attractive than it had any right to be.
I have two reasons for my proposal. One is the law, which I'll get to in a minute, but the other is personal, I admit. Ron's being, well, he's being Ron, and I don't want to put up with it any more. I've put up with his infidelities and jealousy for years, as everyone told me it was just a phase, and I'm sick of it. I want a buffer, which, as you can probably guess, you'll be the most effective one out there.
Draco nodded, kind of speechless. Hermione was being more honest with him than he had anticipated, and even more surprising, he felt honored by the trust, instead of looking for an angle to take advantage of her.
Second, I've been working on this law for the last 6 years, but the Wizengamot has been lukewarm on the idea from the start. Once our tryst hit the papers, suddenly some of the more conservative members of the Wizengamot began to treat me more warmly. I guess they see a kindred spirit in you and your pure blood connection. I don't know and I don't care. I want this too much. It's my life's work at stake.
Surprised, Draco asked, "You don't consider defeating the Dark Lord more important?"
Defeating Voldemort was Harry's more than mine. Obviously it was important, but that was preventing the Wizarding World from going backwards. This is actually moving it forward.
He could hear the fire in her voice and see the determination on her face,
and his cock stirred. She was glorious, fired up and ready to take on the world. The want that spread through him was startling, but not unwelcome. He fervently wished for the sexy version of their deal again. Not wanting to appear soft, though, he asked, "Again, what's in it for me?"
"What do you want? Besides sex, that is."
She rolled her eyes. Looking at Hermione and considering the deal, Draco knew that even a brief relationship with one of the Golden Trio would raise his prestige by leaps and bounds. Those that cut him in public because of the dark mark on his arm and connection to Voldemort would definitely find it harder to continue to do so with Hermione on his arm. Considering he was trying to launch his own ward and charm development and restoration company, he could use all the public goodwill he could get. So the proposed deal already had one plus for him. Both of them needed a very public relationship. She needed it for the Wizengamot, and he could use it for his public image and company's success. Then a thought bubbled up from his subconscious, and he tilted his head as it materialized. He hadn't thought of this in months, but it had become a secret desire over time. Even though her deal would benefit both of them, he didn't have to settle for just that. He said,
"Three things. First, I want your help writing a book about old household spells and wizarding traditions, and I want you to back me when I go to the Hogwarts board and propose a required course for Muggle-born witches and wizards that would teach these traditions and spells."
Now it was Hermione's turn to sit back with a thoughtful look on her face. Instead of asking about his counter-proposals, she asked,
"What's the third thing?"
"I want to read your law in its entirety. If I don't agree with its goals, the deal is off."
A surprised look flickered across her face.
"You want to read my law?"
Now it was Draco's turn to raise an eyebrow.
"If I'm going to help it get past the Wizengamot, I have to not only agree with it, but understand it, don't you think?"
"Of course. But I get to argue the merit of it before you decide against the deal."
Draco nodded. With a flirty tilt of her head, Hermione said,
"And to think, sex didn't make it onto your list."
Laughing, Draco leered at Hermione comically.
"I'm still willing whenever you are."
Letting the look fall off his face, and deciding to reveal some of his own truths, he continued with,
"And I don't want to barter for sex. Too cold-blooded, even for me. If it happens, it happens. And if not, that's okay too."
Hermione looked even happier, but said, "I have a counter-offer, though."
Draco nodded and leaned forward to listen closely.
"If we are going to propose a course for Muggleborns to the Hogwarts board, I want to also propose that Muggle studies get revamped, since it was worthless when we were at Hogwarts. I also want us to propose that it would be required for all students raised in the wizarding world."
Her counteroffer kind of evened the playing field. Neither of them was getting more than the other, but they were still each getting things that were important to them. It was a solid deal, and Draco was cautiously satisfied with it. He nodded and said,
"Deal."
Hermione gave him a beautiful, full smile and held out her hand.
"Shake on it."
He took her hand, but stood up and pulled on it instead of shaking.
"I think a kiss would be more appropriate than a handshake, all things considered, don't you?"
She laughed, but let him pull her up and into his arms. She leaned up and kissed him gently on the lips. He hummed his approval, and they stared at each other from inches apart for a long moment. Then they both came together in a more searing kiss. It was wet and dirty, and Draco moaned as his cock started to harden. As he tugged on her hair to give him room to suck on her neck, he whispered,
"On second thought, maybe we should seal the deal with more than a kiss. Like a good, hard fuck."
She shuddered and whimpered, pressing her neck against his teeth, and they proceeded to fuck right there on the table.